Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this, Chris Herndon deal. Chris Herndon joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That's Skywalker by Miguel. Sending it out to John Morant, doing a little skywalking in San Antonio last night.
All right, we need an official ruling. You do assemble your list of great, notable Grizzlies moments at the end of every season. Sometimes it's a longer list, sometimes it's a smaller list. Does a dunk that happens after the whistle count in the ranking, and do you give it demerits because it happened after the whistle?
If you will consult your Grizzlies glossary, you will see that this falls under the realm of what I have dubbed the not quite highlight. And not quite highlights absolutely count in great moments. If you will also consult, which is even more obscure than the Grizzlies glossary, at least in Memphis, the Free Darko Manifesto from the old Free Darko days, from their first book. And I believe I can almost quote this. It says, some forays to the rim yield not points, but yet should not be denied entry to the kingdom of highlight posterity. So, yes, a not quite highlight doesn't mean it's not a highlight. It means just it didn't quite go the way it was supposed to go, but yet it is still a highlight. It is so awesome that it's a highlight, even though it didn't have the outcome it wanted to have.
Do you have any other examples? And maybe you don't off the top of your head. Of not quite highlights.
I coined this term because of John Morant. He has tons of them. I can't remember all of them. He's the one where he tried to jump over Kevin Love in a game and dunk it. And he missed the dunk. He looked like jumped over Kevin Love. There was another game. I think it may have also been against Cleveland. There was a game where he went up for what looked like it was going to be a layup. And then he did like a 360 spin in the air and then did a dump off to Jaren Jackson coming baseline. And Jaren couldn't finish the dunk. But it was spectacular. John's had a lot of these. I came up with that term because of John Morant. He may be the NBA's all-time leader and not quite highlights.
I find it more satisfying that, in fact, this was finished but didn't count than that it wasn't finished.
The Oscar for new achievements in the field of not quite highlights goes to John Morant. He broke new ground last night.
All right. Do you believe, though, and I think this is a fair question, do you believe, while the highlight, spectacular, incredible, deserves all the attention that it's getting, was it somewhat easier because of the whistle? Do you think had there been no whistle, he would have been contested at all differently?
What's a whistle? Like, the world fades away. Like, it is John Morant going at Victor Wembanyama, two guys jump. It's a playground at that point. All this stuff about whistles and referees and lines on the floor.
The world fades away. So you don't think, from Wemby's perspective, you think Wemby contested that every bit as much as he would have, whistle, no whistle, whatever else? He
probably not, but who cares? I mean, why?
All right. It was spectacular. It was unbelievable. And it was interesting in the world of Jod not dunking that he makes exceptions, and let us be grateful for that.
So to actually like pivot to the game itself, like yeah, that play was the biggest highlight. It did not count on the scoreboard, but that play I think was an indicator of the spirit Jod had in that game. And Ja Morant to me played one of the best games he's played all season last night. And that was just sort of a cherry on top of it. But he was great in that game.
He was great, and as you've put it before, Ja, zenith most effective of Ja is a guy whose assist numbers are up and isn't necessarily, he doesn't need to be scoring 37 points.
Well, it's not just, but it's yes. But even on top of that or beyond that, I mean, it's the manner of the assist too a little bit. But he was just playing with such a rhythm in that game. And, like, when he has 12 assists and, like, four or five of them are for alley-oop dunks, that's when things are going well.
Right.
Right? Like, he's really generating easy shots for people. It's not just, like, guys are making shots. It's like he might as well give Ja the points, you know? It's that kind of thing. And the rhythm he was playing with, the way, just the bounce he had to get to his spot for his shots, to create tempo for easy buckets for teammates, he just, that was the, like, I am controlling the game when I'm on the floor job that I think is when the Grizzlies are at their best.
Yeah, and honestly, he had should have had another one to Santi. I don't know how Santi missed that one. And then but even the flair with the ball fake on the layup towards the end, like, that was more of it. It was Ja. It was absolutely Ja, 100% feeling it in that game. So yesterday you talked about the two matchups, Ja versus Wemby. I think we can give this one to Ja on the scoreboard, on the highlight reel, everywhere. But then there was the Zach Edey versus Wemby. And although he got the dunk, the truth of the matter is the Grizzlies were dramatically better yesterday when after they said, you know what, let's sit Edey down and space the floor. I thought
you have a roster. This is why when we talk about the front stuff, like I sort of the idea of, like, we got to figure out who your guys are. I sort of resist that talk when it comes to the front court, because I think the idea of optionality and pivoting different ways based on the flow of the game is what they should do with the way their roster is constructed in the front court. You got Jaren and you got four other guys who are all different from each other. And, like, it makes sense to me that some nights or some stretches, you know, it's not just a matter of who's best. It's a matter of who's best for the moment. So, yeah, that's true. But I also think, let's not, speaking of the kingdom of highlight posterity, let's not deny entry to the Zach Edey dunking on Wemby either.
Right.
That was awesome. Just two big dudes, like, right under the rim, drop step and go up. Like, let's hope we get 15 years of that, you know. Sometimes Edey's gonna get Wemby, sometimes Wemby's gonna get Edey, and let's hope, like, that's a thing for, like, 15 years. But I also think, yeah, he had a little burst at the beginning of the game, and then it sort of fell back. But I'm glad he had the burst. And I think Ja Morant had some quotes about this after the game. That's a true story. And to me, this is another part of the good game Ja had, is he went out of his way to start to get AD involved early, which is something I had written about earlier in the week after that Houston game. And I think that was another facet of Ja just playing a great total game, was having the awareness to sort of get AD involved and wake them up a little bit.
The optionality is interesting. And it's not, obviously, doesn't just extend to the bigs. Like, Luke Kennard has not been used in some games. Has Scottie Pippen's right. Another one who's ebbed and flowed. His minutes have ebbed and flowed. Luke Kennard was a huge part of last night's game. And it did feel like once they committed to spacing, I mean, they won that game, it felt like to me, with a lineup of Ja, Dez, Jaren, Santi, and Luke, which doesn't have a lot of defense there. And Luke was tremendous.
Yeah, you know, Luke was almost traded a few weeks ago, and since then he's really had a resurgence. He's really been playing well. And there's a little bit of a reminder that, like, so ever since they've acquired him, like, the numbers when he's on the floor with the main guys have always been good. And, like, they got him for that reason, because they wanted to see that. And, like, you know, maybe he gets traded. I kind of doubt it at this point. I think it's true that the optionality thing applies to the third perimeter player or whatever, you know, along with Ja and Bane, as it does to the front court, but I do think it applies less.
Right.
Like, I think there's a chance that you look up and either Marcus Smart or Vince Williams is just, like, closing every game in the playoffs. I don't think anyone's going to have that decisive of a role next to Jaren in the front court.
Yeah, I wonder if it's less optionality than lack of conviction or who's playing well, or, like, Jalen Wells wasn't hitting shots last, whatever. Like, it feels like a little bit. And, yes, this could all disappear if someone asserts a claim to those positions. They haven't, it felt like, as of yet. So Wemby is, like, it's fascinating. Games with Wemby, and I'm, as you pointed out, like, last night should have been on national TV. Tomorrow night's is on national TV. Wemby is so fascinating to watch. He is, He changes everything completely on the defensive end, and not just the eight blocks. It's literally every other shot, it feels like, is the trajectory of the shot is changed. The decisions-making going into the lane are different. Jaren had to figure it out last night. There were quotes to Jaren about how he sort of figured it out as the game went along. But offensively, I'm totally happy to... I mean, for a giant, he is a great three-point shooter, but it feels like... that is not his best use as a on the offensive end, and maybe that's the players around him. He doesn't have the great pick and roll, you know, partners yet to play off of, or maybe it's how he's deployed. But I don't know. The contrast between him on the defense, he's destructo. Offensively, I was happy to see what we saw from him last night.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a partly a reminder that as good as he is, he's still young. Like right. He's midway through year two. I don't know how old he is. He's like 20, 21. Like, he's really young. And he, we'll see, his body type is like, there's nothing else, you know, it's unprecedented. But so you wonder, like, how much stronger is he going to be able to get?
Right.
There's a strength factor there a little bit, too, in terms of he's not, like, you know, in the post as much, bullying people off the dribble, like, overpowering people. Because, I think he has to get stronger. Zach Edey, by the way, still has to get stronger, as strong as he is. You know,
look at
Jaren.
Yeah, look at the trajectory Jaren had as he got stronger, right? He's able to do now.
Right.
He couldn't do it originally.
So imagine Wimby at 24 if he doesn't have injuries and just, like, adds muscle. I mean, come on.
Right. No, I won't do that. I decline to imagine that. That was by the way... like, the offense flowed better last night, it felt like, and a lot of that was Ja being Ja. Is some of that, though, as good as Wemby is, the Spurs aren't, you know, they're not the Rockets in terms of just defensive. Like,
no, they're good, though. I don't have the numbers in front of me. I think they're upper half of defense, but they're not. The Rockets and the Wolves are both top five defense in the league this season. As much as the Wolves have struggled, it's not because of their defense, right? So I think the Rockets are like third in the league defensively and the Wolves are like fifth. And I don't know what the Spurs are. Maybe they're 12th or 13th or something like that. So there is a qualitative difference in those teams.
Yeah, and I just wonder. It stands to reason that it's easier to look better offensively when you're playing against a team that is not the Timberwolves or the Rockets.
But they're not the Wizards or the Blazers either, you know?
Right.
And you're on the road, and that team has a winning record on the road. To me, I have no idea what the point spread or whatever was, but to me, going into that game, that was a toss-up game. The Grizzlies are better, but the Grizzlies are on the road. I mean, that was a jump ball of a game.
Yeah,
going into it,
and it was interesting that Jaren recognized that, like Jaren and Drew's story, you know, said we needed that. Who knows? Like one win is one win is one win, but it did.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, it's a little weird because they were on like a one-game losing streak.
Right.
You know?
Desmond Bane said it's been a rough road trip. No, it hasn't. They've 1-1 on the road trip, right? Now they're 2-1 on the road trip. But
it's
still
weird, that Minnesota game, because, I mean, I was there and the locker room was not animated after that Minnesota game. Like, it didn't feel like we just won a big game.
Huh.
I don't know why, but it just was not like that.
Yeah, Drew was in the locker room, I guess, after this one. It seems like that one had more of that
feel. Does this
show
maybe how much, like, the Rockets affect them?
I think it might, yeah.
Yeah, that may be it. So there you go. Big win for the Grizzlies. That was a hell of a lot of fun. And now we get to see it again tomorrow night. So they're halfway through the season, Chris. And you'd have to say, they've won 41. I mean, they have... I'm sorry, they've won 26 and 15. You'd have to say, given the injuries, given everything, a successful first half, yes?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there were differences of opinion all over the place. I mean, ranging from the Grizzlies will make the finals to the Grizzlies will miss the play-in. Like, you could find either of those things before the season. But the general consensus is they were going to be like, you know, the fifth, sixth, seventh best team in the West, that's sort of where people had them pegged. You know, pace for, I guess, what is it, 52 right now?
Yeah.
The Ja, Jaren, Dez games where they've had all three together, I think the pace for that, I've been tracking that, I think the pace for that is like more of like a 54, 55 win pace when they've had their guys. And they're a work in progress, like just like sort of everyone is, you know? I mean, teams are living organisms, complex living organisms that evolve over the course of the season. Not always for the best, and there are hiccups along the way. People freaking out about the Celtics right now, you know, because they're having a little bit of a hiccup.
Right.
But I think the Grizzlies are really good. And I think they're really good in a conference where there is one team that is clearly better than everyone else, but that's sort of it. And there are like a handful of teams that could end up being the second best team in the conference. Not just in the regular season, but in terms of likelihood, like, you know, like who is there to pick up the baton if the Thunder drop it kind of thing. That could be the Grizzlies. It could also be the Mavericks or the Rockets or the Nuggets or whatever. But like the Grizzlies are like, you know, their hat is in the ring for that.
So looking at the Western Conference, as you point out, Oklahoma City is running away with it. We got the rematch, by the way, tonight. We got Oklahoma City-Cleveland tonight. And then a six-game gap down to Houston. It feels like, I mean, who knows? Who knows what the hell's going to happen? Who knows what injuries will happen, whatever else? But it feels like the Grizzlies are well-positioned to finish in the top four, right? Because there's a little bit of a gap, and then it's the Clippers, the Lakers, and Dallas, who you would think would be a threat, but they're still injured. They lost to the Pelicans last night, and now there's a four-game cushion between the Grizzlies and Dallas, right? So it feels like they are well-positioned to be in the top four. Denver is getting better, honestly. They've figured things out. Westbrook's been good. Like, what do you make of where the Grizzlies are in that mix?
Well, I think, you know, the way the playoff stuff is set up now, there are multiple lines of demarcation, right? There's the 10-11 line, which is really important.
Right.
I think the Grizzlies are well clear of that. It's hard to see. Things would have to go really poorly for that to matter.
Right.
There's the 6-7 line, which I think may be the most important line in some ways.
Right.
And there's the 4-5 line that's also important. So I'm focused a little bit more. Like, I do think I agree with you. They're in good shape to be a top four, but it almost matters more to be a top six in the sense that I think the gap between 6 and 7 is more important than the gap between 4 and 5. And what that means for people who don't know how it works is if you're top six, you're guaranteed a full playoff series. And if you're at 7, you have to fight your way into a play-in, right? If you're top 4, you're guaranteed home court advantage in the first round. So I feel really good that the Grizzlies are going to be 1 of the 6, and I think there's a very good chance they're also 1 of the 4. But that 6-7 line to me is the bigger line.
In terms of that, maybe I'm taking it for granted at this point. They're not going to fall to 7, but there are teams back there. If Dallas gets healthy, if Minnesota lost again last night, figures things out, who behind you scares you? To me, the 6-7 line is more important, but if you could stay out of 4 and be in the 2-3, that strikes me as also important, right? That's another line, like, because you don't want to have to play Oklahoma City in the second. You don't want to be in the 4-5 game against, like, against Dallas, and then you don't want to play Oklahoma City.
This brings up a question. Would you rather be 4 or 6?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so 2-3 is great. 2-3 is really should be the goal at this point. Like, I don't think it matters that much whether you're 2 or 3.
Right, no.
But 2-3 is really what you want. There's a real question whether you'd rather be 4 or 6. You'd rather be 4 than 5, but, like, maybe 6 is not so bad, you know, and then once you if you can't be top 3. But that, to me, we can argue about that later in the season.
Right.
I think when I look at it, I think about it in two ways. There is the pecking order or likelihood for regular season finish, and there's the pecking order or likelihood for playoff breakthrough. And those lists, I think, are the same teams, but probably in a different order. Like, Dallas is probably not going to finish second in the West in the regular season. I think if the playoffs start and Luka and Kyrie are both healthy, Dallas might be top of the list of, like, who is second most likely to come out of the West, right? So they're slightly different lists. I think Houston, you can reverse it. Houston's probably in the best shape to finish second because they're there now with a little bit of a gap. But I just don't see that team coming through the playoffs, even if Oklahoma City falters. So, and I see sort of Memphis and Denver is sort of in the middle. Like, they're sort of the runner-up on maybe both categories, you know, in that I think I like both those teams better as a playoff team than Houston. I like them better as a regular season team at this point than Dallas, you know. So that's sort of a jumble to me. I think Minnesota's just got too many problems. And the Lakers I could see worrying about in the playoffs if, like, LeBron and Davis are healthy, but I don't know.
You think Minnesota will not sort out their problems?
And no one in Minnesota does, that's for sure. I think the faith is diminishing there by the day.
And of course, the other part of this is we got the trade deadline coming up. I don't know which of those teams are likely to make moves. Houston has lots of ammo if they want to. Lots of stuff that they could deal. I don't know whether Denver would, whether Memphis, you know, thoughts about who might be most aggressive there in terms of improving their lot.
You know, Houston, to your point, well, honestly, it could be Oklahoma City.
Right.
A lot of people think Oklahoma City is a team that's going to deal for Cam Johnson. Because they have more picks than anybody. That's kind of the thing. But the rest of the teams, Houston has sent all kinds of signals. They're not looking to mess with this and, you know, want to give it time. And I don't know, man. I think if Houston was the team that finally made the trade for Jimmy Butler, because they wouldn't have to give up. They have so much depth and so much stuff. They're not going to give up anything that crucial to do it.
They also can't keep everybody, ultimately.
Right.
Go ahead.
And so if they make the trade for Butler and then you get to the playoffs and they're the 2 seed and suddenly Jimmy Butler becomes playoff Jimmy Butler, I think Houston gets a lot more serious at that point.
Right. All right, it's fascinating. We got the rematch tomorrow night. And again, tonight we have Cleveland, Oklahoma City. And then tomorrow we got Grizzlies, Spurs. I saw someone, and I think you retweeted or co-signed this point over on X. They made the point that NBA has its money from the new TV deal. That now would be a good time to... It's not about getting the next TV deal. Now would be a good time to highlight some of these other teams and other stars that may not be Steph or LeBron or the Lakers, because someday you're going to need a new TV deal, and let's grow the product a little bit here or make people
it's
aware.
It's not just about the NBA. It's about the TV partners who drive what they want on their air.
Right.
I think I am not someone who there's sort of a war going on about inside the NBA, the Barkley.
Right.
Kenny Smith show. Yeah. And I have mixed feelings about it because I do think those guys are entertaining. But I'm also sick of bad-mouthing the product in a way that's not warranted. You know, I think there's a lot of that that's happened with the NBA. But I think the NBA, the NBA world, the TV partners, the whole shebang, should get really aggressive and enthusiastic, and you shouldn't have to force yourself to be enthusiastic because it's worth being enthusiastic about, to really aggressively promote the good teams and the good players, but really teams. I think that Cleveland Thunder game showed us something, you know?
Yeah.
And I think these Spurs-Grizzlies games where you got John Wimby and you got this novelty of, Wimby and Zach Edey and the two biggest guys in the league, battling with each other and, I don't know, man. Promote good basketball. I think take a chance on it, you know?
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. All right, every Thursday we play Right In and Right Trivia. And the way it works is someone's going to call in and they're going to try to beat Jeffrey Wright in trivia. If they can, knock yourself out. It's been a while since anyone has. But all we require is you to play honorably. If you play honorably, Jeffrey, what's the fabulous prize package today?
Jeff, it's an either-or day. You can have 2 tickets to go see Sam Morrill, the Errors Tour. That's on February the 16th at Minglewood. Or you can have 2 tickets to go see the Rodeo of the Mid-South this Saturday night at Landers at 7 p.m.
All right. It's January. We're going to take the first caller. 445-0929, 445-0929. First month of the year. First caller. 445-0929. If you want to be or attempt to be Righter Than Right. Kevin Cerrito will join us on the other side, and we will play trivia. We'll do that next. 92.9 FM ESPN. All right, back at the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Kevin Cerrito. He's the czar of fun and games here in Memphis, Tennessee, and a man who ranks Pizza Hut as his favorite chain pizza. That was an interesting take yesterday, I heard, as I was driving around yesterday, and very different than Jeffrey's.
Yeah, me and Jeffrey have opposite rankings. What's your number one pizza from chain restaurants?
I don't order them anymore. I don't. I only order local. And it's not like I'm not taking a stand for local pizza. Well, first of all, I live roughly 3 minutes maybe from the East Memphis Memphis Pizza Cafe. So I like their buffalo chicken pizza. I like their pepperoni pizza. I like their pizza. So I pretty much only get that. I cannot tell you. Now, I used to do Little Caesars. What's it called? Hot and Ready, Jeffrey?
Hot and Ready.
I used to do those all the time because I could walk in and for $5 get dinner for three boys, right? So I used to do that. But I would never say that that is the best. It's probably the worst. It's only good, honestly, when it's hot. It's good. I always had the pizza. I always would eat a piece driving home because it's good best when it's hot. But I liked, I would say Papa John's is my, of the chain, Papa John's is my least favorite, easily.
Yes,
I like,
yes,
I like
the same
the
here,
other,
yeah.
I like the other two. I like Domino's and I like Pizza Hut, but I'm reaching into the distant past to recall that. So anyway, what's happening in the world of fun and games?
I mean, nobody out pizzas the Hut. That's what they say.
No, they say that.
We got it. Well, this weekend's got, the Tournament of Champions got rescheduled due to the snow, so we're giving away $1,000 this weekend. It's sold out. We've got over 30 of the top trivia teams in the Memphis area coming out to compete for that this weekend. But we have added a new trivia location this week. We started doing trivia at Cafe Eclectic, where we play music bingo on Mondays. Now we're playing trivia there on Tuesdays. It starts at 6:30 there in Midtown. They updated their evening menu at Cafe Eclectic to include some of their breakfast favorites. So I had chicken and waffles this week when I was there. So yeah, you want to check it out, Cafe Eclectic. Now Tuesday nights, we're adding another new trivia location next week. We'll talk about that here on the show then. But go to CerritoEntertainment.com, CerritoTrivia.com. You can play for free tonight. We're at four different places around the Memphis area. You can start qualifying for next year's Tournament of Champions in 2026, where we'll once again give away another $1,000.
All right, Jeffrey, who is our contestant today?
Jeff, we welcome in Lawrence to the program.
Lawrence, welcome to the program. Best of luck. I'm going to turn matters over to Kevin, and may the best person win.
All right, this is Right or the Right Trivia. Your job's to get more right than Jeffrey. If you do, you will win today's prize. But really, you just got to play fair here. I'm going to give you the choice of two categories. Whatever you don't choose will go to Jeffrey. If he misses one time, you can steal from him, and vice versa. Your categories to choose from to start today, we have science or songs.
Well, let's go science.
Science. What layer of Earth is between the crust and the outer core?
Drawn a complete blank. No idea.
Jeffrey, do you want to steal?
Yeah, I'm going to steal. I'm pretty sure. Mantle?
Mantle is correct.
Oh, this is ridiculous. That's like sixth grade science, and you remembered it. That's a preposterous answer, Jeffrey. It happens to be correct. I sympathize with Lawrence. It's 1-0, and it's over to Jeff.
Yeah, that goes back to like fifth grade.
You draw a little diagram between there.
Yeah, the crust and the outer core conversation is more about like the pizzas, right? That's usually what we're talking about.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, I remember xylem and phloem. You know, xylem's up, phloem's down. That's a different diagram. You remember that, Jeffrey?
No, I do not.
You don't remember xylem and phloem?
No.
No, well, okay.
Mantle's anyway. Also like one of the only layers I can really remember.
Over to Jeffrey.
We've got songs, Jeffrey. Though the band has had numerous hits, only one of ABBA's songs have ever reached the number one spot on the Billboard Hot 100 chart. And it was only there for 1 week. What song about a 17-year-old was their biggest hit?
Oh, there's a clue.
I'm the only one that comes to mind is Dancing Queen.
The only ABBA song that comes to mind is Dancing Queen. So it must be their biggest hit. And it is! Jeffrey gets another point.
Two to zip. Over to Lawrence.
Good start.
Fashion.
Good start.
Yeah, fashion. Fashion or film, Lawrence? Fashion or film?
Film.
Film. Actress Robin Wright played which character in the 1994 film Forrest Gump?
Oh my gosh, what is her name?
That's the question, really. That is. Can't tell you.
Seen that movie 100 times. Robin Wright. She played. Oh my gosh! I'm drawing a complete blank.
The pressure of Right In Right Trivia is extraordinary. So Jeffrey already had his steal. Kevin?
But but you do know, Jeffrey, right, who it is,
Jenna.
Right? Yeah, there you go. Just wanted to see his Forrest Gump impression here live here on the radio. Fashion for you, Jeffrey, it is Jenny. Featured.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Jenny. Uh-huh. Featured in the final minutes of the Sopranos series finale, what exclusive-sounding brand of clothing was popular in the 80s using the thought-provoking slogan, when you put it on, something happens?
Oh, God.
When you put it on, something happens.
The only guess I have, and it's wrong, is Gucci.
That is incorrect. Do you
want to steal?
Do you want to steal Lawrence?
Lawrence, or no?
Can you repeat it one more time for me?
Sure. Featured in the final minutes of the Sopranos series finale, what exclusive-sounding brand was popular in the 80s and used the thought-provoking slogan, when you put it on, something happens?
No, I do not want to steal.
It's an exclusive-sounding brand. That brand is Members Only. Mm. Members Only.
All right, so still 2-0. 2-0? 2-0.
2-0.
Yeah, okay. Over to Lawrence.
Books or television?
Let's go TV.
TV. All right, we got fill-in-the-blank questions this round. Fill in the blank with the word that could mean two different things in the title of Anthony Bourdain's TV show. It was Anthony Bourdain's No Blank.
Reservations.
That is correct. You got a point.
You got a point. Let's not cheer him like he's, you know, some...
Well, and I got books coming up,
you know,
so
like
here we
some
go.
Handicapped kid crossing the finish line or whatever. You know, anyway, it's 2-1.
What's the score? What's
2-1? It's 2-1. Yes, go ahead. Yes.
That's a great score.
It's a great score. It's close. It's competitive. Go ahead. Over to Jeffrey.
Fill in the blank, Jeffrey. The famous opening line of the novel Moby Dick. Call me blank.
Wait, repeat this one more time.
Yeah, fill in the blank of the famous opening line of the novel Moby Dick. It's call me blank.
Okay. Ishmael.
There you go.
Okay.
That's a point. That's
three
correct.
3-1.
3-1 now. English or Spanish to wrap up the regulation play here today?
Let's go English.
English, what is the term in cosmetics for any product designed to remove dead skin cells?
Exfoliate
is correct.
There you go. 3-2. Keeping it close. Keeping it close. Over to Jeffrey.
Jeffrey, Spanish for you. What is the Spanish word for devil?
Diablo.
Diablo is correct. Diablo, you can
4-2.
Get the
all right, are we done
the Diablo
regulation?
Rap or Diablo rap or Diablo nachos. I highly recommend
Diablo
those.
Nachos.
At Cafe Eclectic. Cafe Eclectic, yes. Very good.
4-2, right. And we're in the final round. Is that right, Jeffrey?
Do we have one more?
Oh, we have one more?
No, that's it. That was it. We're heading to the end. Yeah, we're heading to the end. We're
Jeffrey,
going around the world.
Let me see how many you're wagering. Let me see how many you're wagering. Jeffrey is holding up. I take it, Lawrence, you're wagering both your points?
Yep.
Okay. And Jeffrey's wagering one. We'll go to Lawrence.
Now, Lawrence is in it to win it. Jeffrey last week took down radio legend Steve Conley. Jeffrey has not lost since October of last year. Do you want question A or B?
A.
We're going around the world here. What world capital is the birthplace of Oscar Wilde, is thought of to be founded by Vikings, and is home to Trinity College?
Ooh.
Can you repeat it one more time?
Sure. What world capital is the birthplace of Oscar Wilde, is thought to be founded by Vikings, and is the home of Trinity College?
Oslo?
I'm sorry, that is not the correct answer.
Dublin. He won't be doubling his score there, will he?
Hey-o.
No, we won't.
all right, we got to finish this up. Over to Jeffrey to wrap this up.
Let's finish it up, because these are free questions. I'll be asking all these questions over the next week at Trivia Nights. We play on Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. Jeffrey, what Asian city is the birthplace of the energy drink Red Bull, is nicknamed Venice of the East, and was the setting of at least one of the movies in the Hangover franchise?
I swear I thought it was Japanese, so I'm just going to say Tokyo.
That is not correct. Now,
Lawrence can't
Lawrence
steal.
Is not stolen. He can get a point.
He can make it 3-1.
Yeah, you get a point, Lawrence.
Get the backdoor cover.
Hong Kong. Hong Kong.
Hong Kong is incorrect. Bangkok is the answer. Bangkok is the Venice.
So the final
of the
score
East.
Is 3-0. I do believe Joe Lawrence played honorably, don't
Indeed
you?
Indeed he did.
You have his information?
I do.
Thank you, Lawrence. We
Thanks
appreciate
for playing,
it.
Lawrence.
Jeffrey wins again. Kevin, where can people figure out where you're going to be?
Go to SerenoEntertainment.com. We've got Music Bingo happening tonight at Waldo's in Cordova. Trivia is at the Evergreen Grill. We're at the Hampline Tap Room tonight, as well as down in South Haven at Dan McGinnis. And, find the whole schedule at SerenoEntertainment.com.
All right. We're going to take a break. Come back in a moment. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, so we got the sad news, Jeffrey. Bob Uecker?
Yeah, one of the absolute legends of broadcasting.
One of the legends of broadcasting. He died?
He passed away at 90 years old today.
Okay, and what's Bob Uecker best known for?
I would say probably Major League, right?
Probably, yeah. I guess so. But anyway, died at the age of 90.
I mean, he's just kind of like a baseball character.
He certainly is. He certainly is a baseball character, you know, and then known for commercials and everything else.
Being hilarious.
And generally being hilarious. The Memphis Athletics has announced their 2024 M Club Hall of Fame class. Karen Fields Isaacman, the Golden Tiger Award, Phil Chamberlain, the Billy Murphy Award, Dave Woloshin, the Ralph Hatley Silver M Award, and Charlotte Peterson, the Murray Armstrong Award. They will be, they'll have an induction ceremony on February 22nd. So there's that bit of news. But, you know, Jeffrey, given everything, Tigers play again tonight. They play at Temple. And so we'll be talking about that tomorrow. Hopefully they keep their, remain undefeated in conference. But given what happened last night, let's send everyone off on a high. We have both calls. We have the TV call, and now we have the radio call of the non-dunk. I gather that, like Greeny showed it today on ESPN. So you can say it didn't count.
Oh, no, it's been making the rounds today
on ESPN.
We saw
it, ladies.
Yeah.
I saw it with my own eyeballs. It counted. So what, you want to give him the TV call first?
Let's give
him radio call.
Eric's call.
Here's Eric's call.
Morant, a 13-3 Grizzly run. Morant getting by Castle to the rim, tries to dunk on Wembanyama, and he finishes it anyway. Oh, what a move, and it won't count, but it'll be on every highlight reel in the world after that one.
I would say he was prophetic.
I would say that is true. On every highlight reel in the world after that one. And let's remind people of the TV call.
For the Grizzlies, a lot of late-game situations. Ja in the late-game situation. Oh!
I like the Brevin laughter. The Brevin laughter was just...
And it's like the sideline report, like, oh, everyone just stops
exactly
what they're doing.
The
like,
exclamation. So that was a hell of a lot of fun. I was sitting there watching it with son Peter, and we both came out of our chairs. So, all right, what's coming up next on 92.9? I gather we got the return of John Martin.
That's right. John will be back with Jason today. Drew Hill will join them, as will Adam Chernoff during hour number 3. David Cobb will be with me today on Jeffrey Wright and Company. Jason Smith going to join us during hour number 2. It's Thursday, so that means Jeff will be with Gabe at 5 o'clock.
All right, back tomorrow. Thanks for listening, everybody. For now, our work is done.